read several verses before we get there, but that's where we're going to bring out a good portion of the point tonight, or as far as the introduction goes. Everybody was here this morning. Said something about maybe getting a card and putting something in there for the Gazaways. And like I said, we'll have a receiving line after the service and be able to give that to them, help them on their furlough travels and food and gas and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, looking forward to having them with us. And the fellowship on Tuesday, again, that's for anybody. You don't have to be a preacher to be here at that. We got the food ordered today, and going to be able to pick it up. And looking forward to that. Again, this will be the first time that I guess we've hosted one of these since I've been here. And I actually put that in the invitation letter that I sent out. Don't not come just because I'm the newbie. And so we'll see. Sometimes that does work. Nah. And then sometimes you have a bigger crowd. They want to come check the new guy out. So we'll see. But we're looking forward to that on Tuesday. Be some good preaching and good singing and so forth at that meeting. And then good food. And I don't know that we have any bad food around here. It's always good food. So but anyway. All right. Tonight we're going to preach a sermon entitled Cease Not and Grow On. Cease not and grow on. And we're going to look at three Bible characters that there's verses that either say that exactly or at least allude to that they didn't stop doing what they were supposed to do and they kept growing. And, you know, obviously God put them in the Bible to give us an example of somebody that didn't stop. You know, we've all heard, I guess, cliches about not quitting. Once you put your hand to the plow, the Bible says, and you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. So the Bible indicates that we ought not quit and so forth. And we saw this morning that the devil's going to try to distract us even down to the point of devouring us, maybe causing us to quit. But the Bible commands us to cease not and to grow on. And again, I'm going to read you a couple verses, and then we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll see the first fella, or the first point there in the introduction. But in 1 Timothy 4:16, it's one of the verses, I don't think I read it this morning, but it has the phrase in there, take heed to thyself, like we ended the sermon with this morning. But it says, take heed to thyself unto doctrine, and then it says, continue in them. So in other words, don't stop learning doctrine. Don't quit learning doctrine and do not go back on it, but continue in them. And for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So again, a Christian is commanded by God that once we do know how to get saved, that we share that. Once we do know how to get to heaven, we share that. And we're supposed to continue to do that. And Paul, obviously, in the Scripture tells us that to commit what you've learned to faithful men. Why? So that they can teach it to others also, and then teach it to others also, and also. So this verse basically is indicating that we're supposed to continue in the doctrine that we've learned from the Bible, and maybe that others that hear us will be able to do the same thing. So that might indicate that your children that grows up in your house, they ought to learn the same thing that you've learned. But then if you have the privilege of, maybe discipling somebody, a friend, or if you have the privilege of teaching a Sunday school class to young people, things like that, they're going to hear what you've learned. So our children or students in a class or family members or our relatives or neighbors that we teach that to. And that's what it says. Take heed to thyself unto the doctrines and continue. Don't cease. Keep growing in your knowledge about the doctrines of the Bible. Then 2 Timothy 3:14, again, Paul writing to Timothy and telling him not to stop. And the first thing he indicated was don't stop keeping yourself in check. Take heed to yourself. 2 Timothy 3:14, it says this, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So in other words, you heard it, kind of like, I don't know if I've ever heard that or not. Or you heard it and thought, wow. But then you got assurance of it, just like our salvation. We found out that we could die and go to hell in our sins. If we want to pay for that, we get saved. And then maybe we get assurance of our salvation, and then it grows. We're supposed to continue in that. And the things that we've learned and got assurance of. And then it says here, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And again, we might have learned them from a parent or from a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a friend. But of course, ultimately, we've learned it from God and His Word. And so don't stop or cease not and grow on in keeping yourself in check. And cease not and grow on and keep and don't stop learning and practicing what you've learned. Another verse is Acts 5:42. And of course, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So again, we ought not stop soul winning. And so we see here that in 1 Samuel 7:8, I'm going to give you an example. Samuel was telling them, "Okay, you don't stop, and I won't stop." And so he was kind of like saying, "Let's make a deal, or let's make a covenant, or let's make a pact. If you don't stop, I won't stop." And so that's what we're seeing here. Paul was saying this to Timothy: "I'm not going to stop, so you don't stop." In Acts, the disciples, the Bible said that the gospel was spread through every county, every city, I don't know that they had those things, but the property where they were at was filled with their doctrine. Why? Because they ceased not, and they kept growing. And so in 1 Samuel 7:8 it says this, "And the children of Israel said to Samuel." So they wanted, he wanted them to not stop in their keeping themselves in check, and he didn't want them to stop in their living what they've learned, and he didn't want them to stop spreading the gospel. And so then they in turn told him, in 1 Samuel 7:8 says this, "And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." So again, on the leader's part, he was saying, "Don't stop what you've learned. Don't stop sharing it with others. Don't stop growing." And so then they were in a situation where they were in captivity by the Philistines, and they were saying, "Okay, preacher, we get it. We won't. We'll try our best, but you don't stop praying for us." And he said, "You keep praying, and don't stop praying." And so now we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I may have said that backwards a while ago, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm sorry, 16. Skip down to 16. We're going to see some principles here of ceasing not and keep on growing. And Paul was saying this to the church at Ephesus. He's like, "You've learned the Bible, you've learned salvation, you've learned how to behave as a Christian. You cease not. You keep doing that. You keep growing," and so forth. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, it says this: "Cease not to give thanks." He's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. "I'm going to cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So just like they didn't want Samuel to stop praying for them, Paul was letting them know, "I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm gonna cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers." And as a pastor, obviously, that's one of my jobs is to pray for you. And just like we're all pretty, territorial, pretty much, with the exception of one couple that I know of here in here, you sit at pretty much at the same place every time. All right, and some of them, they get their seat stolen and they have to move around a little bit. But just like Paul was saying, church at Ephesus, I'm not going to stop praying for you. And so I'll get here early sometimes, pretty much every service. I'll try to get here early and look over what I'm going to preach, things like that, pray in there a little bit. But then I'll come out here and I love it. I enjoy it. I'll go stand right where you sit and I'll pray for you. And say, "Lord, whatever they're going through in their life." And there's sometimes I do know of a situation that you're going through, and I'll mention that. But if I don't know of a situation that you're going through, I'll ask God to help you and to get closer to Him. And to, if you have ailments, I'll pray for those ailments and things like that. And I just go from spot to spot to spot. And I love it. And I enjoy it. And that's what Paul was saying here. I guarantee you, I promise you. You can mark it down. I'm not going to stop giving thanks for you, making mention to you of you in my prayers. And then it says here that God would give you, and it goes into the next verse. And he says, this is what I'm asking God to give you. First thing, asking Him to give you the spirit of wisdom. Why? Because there are situations that we face. And just like we saw this morning, they may be a distraction. They may be something that God's trying to use it to destroy you or your family or the church. And so I would say, God, I may not know the situation, or I do know a situation. Please give them the spirit of wisdom. Help them not throw their hands up. Don't let them succumb to the devil's temptation and distraction. Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom. So we got to cease not and grow on as a church and as a people that love each other. And Paul was saying this to them. I'm going to pray that you have the spirit of wisdom. Then also the revelation. In other words, that God will show you what He's trying to teach you in this situation. Why? So you can have knowledge of Him. So if we're going through a difficulty, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be another situation, and God shows Himself mighty and helps you through it, helps you, gives and provides you whatever you needed, what you're praying, you'll know that nothing's too hard for God. Just like I tried to sing this morning without crying. That unseen hand is there, and He'll guide you with it. And that's what we're praying. And then verse 18 it says here, Paul said, I'm going to keep on praying for you. I'm going to thank God for you. I want Him to give you the spirit of wisdom so you can know that He can do anything. He can help you with anything. Verse 18, and it says here, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. I want you to learn from it. Again, just like we've talked about, nothing comes into that circumference that we talked about Wednesday night unless God allows it. So anything that we're facing in our life, God's allowed it to come into our life. To what? To enlighten our eyes that He is able to deliver us from that, if we'll let Him. Now, obviously, it can get worse if we get worse and we resist stronger. But then it goes on to say that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. He's trying to prepare you to make you into what He created you to be. And then it goes on to say, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance of the saints. And then verse 19, last one that we'll look at in this chapter, it says here, exceedingly greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. So all of us, again, none of us are self-made. All of us have, people that pray for us, people that encourage us, things like that. And when we come through a trial and the Lord's opened our eyes and the Lord showed us that this is His will and He's trying to prepare us for what He created us to be, it says here, exceedingly greatness. We're in awe that God's doing this and God's going to help us. Now let's go to Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. And again, now Paul is writing to another church that he, with the Lord's help, started. He's telling the children at Ephesus, or the people at Ephesus, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to give thanks for you, and I want God to do all these things. You can count it down. I'm going to cease not. Why? Because I want you to grow on. I want you to learn from it. And now he's telling the church at Colossae a lot of the same stuff in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossae. It says here, for this cause, right? I also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. So he pretty much telling the church at Colossae the same thing he told the church at Ephesus. I'm not going to stop praying for you. Why? Because I know the strength of the devil. And I know he's going to do everything he can to ruin you. And I know that life itself is just tough sometimes. And I'm not going to cease praying for you. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. So the first thing he says, God, I know you are smarter than I am. Because if I was God, I might not send Brother So-and-So through this situation. Or I might not allow this family to have this loss. Or I might not allow, because I don't know. All right? But I do know you know. And so I'm going to keep praying for them that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will to accept it. And then it goes on to say, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, I want them to be able to walk worthy during this situation, during this trial, or even during this blessing. Why? Because that would be pleasing and fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we see that Paul was trying to encourage the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, cease not, don't stop, don't quit, don't go back, but you keep growing on. And so we're going to look at three people tonight where the Bible says that they ceased not in their development. They ceased not in their life, of course, until they went to heaven. But they didn't stop what they were learning. And it influenced people. It helped people. And it caused God to do some great things. And what did it do? They grew on. And so let's look at these tonight. And you can write these down if you want. But Roman number one, the first one is this. Samuel ceased not and grew on. Samuel. Now, we know the story of Samuel. He was prayed for. His mom couldn't have any children at the time, and he was prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And she made the promise that, Lord, if you do give me a child, I will let him be raised in the house of the Lord, and I'll give him for your service. And, of course, we know that took place. And we know the call of Samuel. He kept going in there and saying, sir, Eli told him to go get back into bed. It's not me. And he realized it was God calling him and so forth, things like that. And so he was raised, and his life was, he was called to basically serve God. But he wanted to cease not and grow on. And the Bible says that he did not. So in 1 Samuel 2, chapter 26, or verse 26, 1 Samuel 2, 26, it says this, and the child Samuel grew on. That's what it says right here in the Bible. And again, that's just what we do. I don't even know how old he is. I don't guess he's even a month yet, is he? He's 1 month old. He had his 1 month little birthday and Chip. But he's growing. And 2 or 3 days after he came home, he had to go back to the hospital. And what did they do? They weighed him. All right? And I think he was less than when he was born. That's not good. And so they saw he was jaundiced and all this kind of stuff and things like that. But that's just normal. We're supposed to grow when we're born. Same way with our Christian life. We ought to grow. And it says here, Samuel grew on and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men. And so this is the key. God wants us to cease not and grow on and in favor with Him and with everybody out here. And so out here, this relationship is only going to work if this relationship is right. Okay, we're going to mess up this out here. We're going to get mad at each other. We're going to get bent out of shape. We're going to holler and yell. Or we're going to do something down here if this relationship's not right with both sides. All right, so if we're going to cease not and grow on as a church, you have to be right with God. I have to be right with God. And then we have to be right with each other. And that's what he says here. Samuel ceased not to grow on, and he had favor both with God, had a good relationship. But then he also had a good relationship out here. I've seen people that, it's hard to not have a good relationship with God, or have a good relationship with God and not have a good relationship this way. Because if you got it this way, it's going to help you with this way. Most of the time when you got issues going this way, you have issues going this way. The guy that's a jerk or the lady that's mean, she hadn't talked to God today. All she's cared about or all he's cared about is his own will and what he wants to do, and you're just messing it up. Get out of my way. All right, and that's just the way people are. They'll honk at you, get mad at you, and pass you, and this, that, and other stuff. Or, again, sometimes I feel like if I didn't get out of the way at Walmart, there would just be crashes everywhere. All right, and people just if they don't look at you, you're not really there, right? So I'm in there. Sorry. That's just the way people are. But the reason being is there's probably no relationship this way, so all they care about this way is making themselves happy. But that's what Samuel, he grew, and he had favor with God, and he had favor with man. So favor with God is very important. We'll look at a couple verses here that explains that. Genesis 4:4 and 5 says this, and the Lord hath respect unto Abel and to his offering. So we know the story. Cain and Abel both brought an offering to the Lord. God had respect to Abel, but he did not have respect to Abel's. I'm sorry, he had to Cain. Let me say that again. To Abel he had respect, to Cain he did not. I'll read the whole verse again since I've messed it up. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So again, no respect, no favor. God's not going to let the favor come if he doesn't respect what's going on. That day when they both brought their illustration, and in our mind and in obviously worldly philosophy, they might think, well, that's going to hurt that person's feelings. It's kind of like participation trophies. All right, I never got one of those. Every trophy I ever had, I had to earn it. All right, but nowadays, everybody gets one. So what's the use of fighting for a trophy then? All right, the Bible says, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So anyway, that's just pet peeves, I guess. But anyway, you have to earn it. And so again, that day, of course, according to the philosophy of this world, God should have said, oh, I'm sorry, Cain. It's my bad. I didn't explain it. You get a little treat too, or you get a reward too, and y'all run on y'all's way. But that's not the way it is. Like God says, this is the way I want it, and this is what I want. And if you do that, you'll have my favor, If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. And so we see here respect and no respect, or favor or no favor. Genesis 6:8 says this, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So just like there was respect or no respect, there was grace or there was drowning. Is it? Nobody else got to slip on there. "Oh, my bad. You know, you've had a rough time, so you just go ahead and slide on there." No, God shut the door. And there was grace or drowning. So just like that, you have favor or no favor. Again, God's not going to just slip you His favor. Now, He's merciful, He's gracious and all that stuff. But if you want His favor, if you want to be blessed, you got to do it the way He says. And it'll work. But we see here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 39:21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of prison." And so, of course, we know the story of Joseph. I mean, he just had one bad thing after another happening to him. And even in prison, he didn't lose it. He ceased not. And he wanted to grow on in that situation. And we know the story that he found favor in the prison keeper's eyes and was put in charge of this and put in charge of that. So wherever he was, he got God's favor. And so Samuel ceased not and grew on. Proverbs 3:1-4 says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and a long life, and peace shall add unto thee." So there was the way you had to do it to be able to have this. And verse 3 says this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Verse 4, "And thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So the reason that Samuel ceased not and grew on is because he had the favor of God. It wasn't that he was a favorite. It was just that he was doing what he was supposed to do. And God blessed him for that. A couple of verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 8:35 indicates that if you find God, you'll find favor. Proverbs 12:2 says if you're a good man, you'll be in good favor. Proverbs 18:22 says if you find a good wife, you'll find favor. And so again, Samuel ceased not and grew on, and he found the favor of God. Number two is David ceased not and grew on. David ceased not and grew on. 2 Samuel 5:10 says this, "And David went on and grew great, and the Lord was the host was with him," or the Lord of hosts was with him. So David went on and he grew. And it says here, "And great was the Lord with him, and he was with him." So in David's life, God was with him in the direction that he took. Of course, we know about the Goliath, and we know about how God proved himself before that with the lion and the bear, and all the wars that he took. Again, it wasn't that God loved David more than he loved Saul. It was that David ceased not, and he grew on, and he did the things that he was supposed to have God's favor. Again, we think maybe David was better with the sword, or David was stronger, or David was, you know, he had more of a game plan to win all these battles. No, it was just God's favor and not God's favor. You read the life of Saul, just like we talked about Samson this morning, he didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Saul was the same way. He had lived in a way that to the point that God said, "I'm done." And the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. That's why his battles weren't as grand, great as David's were, because it was just God's favor. So again, if we want to cease not and grow on, we have to have the favor of God. So in his direction, David had God's favor. In his development, he went from a shepherd boy, all right, did you hear about the little kid, teenage boy, killed Goliath? To a mighty king. The reason he went from a little bitty boy keeping sheep to the mighty king in his development was God's favor. So again, time, yes, time will tell. I get that. And time will show things like that. But if you're not putting in what you need to, the development's not going to be there. That's why the babies that are not developing like they should, they're going to run tests. They're going to say, "What do we need to do?" Why? Because they're not developing right. Something's not right here. So same thing in a Christian's life. We have to have the favor of God, or we're not going to develop like we need to. So, have the favor of God in your direction. and he had the favor of God in his development. He also had the favor of God in his demeanor. A lot of people, like, you know, they like, okay, I have to look this way, I have to sound this way, I have to behave this way, I got that. They're very militant. But their demeanor stinks. All right? They get to the point where they're pharisaical about it. I'm better than you because I dot, dot, dot. But their demeanor is horrible. David, even though he was a mighty king, he was worried about his kids. You read the stories about him. Is the young man safe? He was worried about other people. His demeanor, it didn't go to his head. They may have been singing about David killing his, you know, tens of thousands over Saul's thousands, but he didn't get the big head. His demeanor stayed there. Why? Favor of God. Because when David looked in the mirror, I don't know if there was mirrors back then, but if he looked in the mirror, he wasn't like, dude, you're the man. You're getting it done. All right, man, did you hear what they're saying about you? No, he was like, God is awesome. God is the one that guided that stone that day. God is the one that's given us the victory over these big, huge armies. It was all about his demeanor. So not only did David have God's favor in his direction, his development, but he also had it in his demeanor. He also had it in his decisions. Again, a lot of people these days, they're just flippant with their decisions. You know, again, now I get it. Sometimes you can be flippant with your decisions on where to eat. All right, especially if you have a wife like mine. And where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Just pick somewhere. All right? And things like that. So I get that. But on, major decisions, you know, I don't guess eating. Maybe some of you think eating where you eat is a major decision. All right? But anyway, a major decision like what you do with your life or how you serve God and things like that. David had God's favor in his decisions. And he also had his favor in his destination. It brought him there. So we see, first of all, Samuel, he ceased not and he grew on. Then we have David, he ceased not and he grew on. And the last one, let's go to Luke, if you're flipping still, but if you're not, I'll read it to you. But Luke 2:52. And of course, we know these other two would not have had that in their life, they're ceasing not and growing on if there wasn't anything other than Jesus. Of course, what they did, they looked forward by faith of what Jesus was going to do. Of course, now after he died and rose again, and he's in heaven, now we look back on what he did do by faith. But same relationship, your faith in Christ. And so, but Jesus ceased not and grew on. In Luke 2:52, it says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man." So Jesus came down and was a perfect example of how you're supposed to have a good relationship with God and get His favor. And in doing so, you'll have great relationships with man. We have Bible principles, like a soft answer turneth away wrath. If somebody's just like fighting mad at you, and if you will have the right kind of outlook and say, God, help me with this. I need your favor in this situation. And he gives you something to say that waters down the fire. Again, it was God. It's his favor. It's his principles. And Jesus was that way. He increased in wisdom, knowing how to handle situations. Of course, he was ridiculed. He was beaten. He was all those things that he was done to. But he had wisdom in it. He grew from a little baby born in the manger. To a adult that died on the cross for us. He grew in stature. But then he also grew, he ceased not and grew on in favor with God and in man. So they were astonished at his teachings in the temple that day. So we see here, first of all, Samuel ceased not and grew on. David ceased not and grew on. And Jesus ceased not and grew on. And so in conclusion, what can we learn from this? Hopefully you've caught on, and I think you have. The way we cease not and grow on is have God's favor. Have God's favor. Again, just like we saw, he's not going to just give it out. But Abel got it. Cain didn't. He's not just going to give it out. Moses got it. Everybody else in the world didn't. Of course, Paul talked about the church at Ephesus. If you'll do it, God will give you his favor. If you don't, he's not. Told the church at Colossae, if you'll behave and do right, God will give you his favor. If not, He's not going to. So we didn't go all the way through the sermon again. We won't take time to do that. But the key was God's favor. God's favor. But then it also says that to cease not grow on, we can have that relationship with God, but then also with man. With man. All of us have to deal with people. Some of you deal with adults. Some of you deal with teenagers. Some of you deal with children. But we all have to deal. Some of us deal with all those things. But we have to deal with it. But the only way that we're going to not just bang our head against the wall, and the only way we're going to ever get any, I guess, headway in helping reach them and train them is with God's favor. I've been a bus director before, and I've had bus captains come to me and say, "Oh, I don't know what to do." I go, "Okay, I'm trying to help them. Like, look, in your life, you need to read your Bible. You need to have a good relationship with God, and you know, that way, if you've got this relationship right, He will help you with this. But if this is not here, I'm not trying to be mean. But if this is not right, that's all you're going to do. If you don't have His favor, if you don't have His help." And then, you know, they would tell me, "This specific kid is just driving us absolutely crazy." And my first question is he saved or is she saved? Because if not, I say, you don't have any inside help. You are just going to bang your head against the wall, and you are just going to say stuff. There's not going to be there because God has to be involved. So the best thing you can do is get the person saved. And then I would tell them, you know, things that you just, you know, you better have a plan on that bus or they're going to have a plan on that bus. All right. If you don't have a plan and work your plan, they're going to be in charge. And some of you experience this around your house. If you don't have a plan, if you don't have rules, things like that, the 3-year-old will be in charge. But anyway, so, you know, just stuff like that. But the key is God's favor. Cease not and grow on and get the favor of God. It'll help us, number one, in conclusion, it will help us with our walk with God. Because if we're just doing it for a checklist, you know, I've heard Christians ought to read their Bible. Check. I've heard Christians ought to pray. Check. I heard Christians ought to maybe pass out a tract or be concerned about somebody's soul. So there's a track. I left it on the table with my tip. Check. All right, if that's the only reason we're doing it, just to check the checklist, God's not going to give us favor for that. Okay, it's got to be because of the relationship with Him. He will help us with our walk. Next, we ought to cease not and grow on, not only in our walk with God, but in our knowledge of God. In our knowledge of God. We need God's favor in that. The Bible says that, and a lot of people use this as an excuse. I read this and I don't get anything out of it. It's kind of like that inside help with that bus kid, all right, or that Sunday school kid, or anybody that you're dealing with. Are they saved? Because if they're not saved, you have no inside help. Same thing with the Bible. If a person's saying, I don't understand it, are they saved? Why? Because if they're not saved and the Holy Spirit's not inside them, they don't have that teacher inside them to teach them this. Now, a lot of people just give that as an excuse because they don't want to do what it says. But that is true. So we have to have God's favor in our knowledge of God. Lastly, we need God's favor in our service for God. Again, I believe, you know, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. And so I could say, all right, you know, as a pastor of a church, I'm just going to go door knocking 24/7. And I believe God blesses that. It says His word will not return void. It says if He be lifted up, things like that. So even in our service, we can't say, okay, God, You can set this one out because I know the Bible. I know how to soul win. I know how to talk to people. I've been doing this for a long time. No. We still need God's favor. I've experienced it, I guess, where I've tried not on purpose, but tried to lead someone to Christ in the flesh. Thinking, you know, I've talked to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. So I got this. I don't want to ever get to that point because it's nothing. I mean, I thought, man, that was awesome. And I used this verse and I used this illustration and nothing happened. But I've also been there where I've stumbled over my words. I forgot verse. Where was that verse at? Da, 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 da. And they get saved. Why? Because His word doesn't return void. But His favor has to be there. So it's not a competition. You know, we're not on a race to see who can be the best Christian. But we ought to all cease not and grow on and have His favor. That's what it's all about. Why? Because, again, there's been times, I haven't, pastored for a long time, obviously, but I have preached a lot. And there's been times in my life that, you know, I preached a sermon, and I was like, man, that outline was awesome. It was alliterated. Oh, those verses right there, that was awesome. And that illustration, that just brought it home. And everybody's like, nothing happened. All right, why? Because if I'm not careful, I can get in the flesh. It's like, this is going to work because I'm doing it, because I'm saying it, because I'm doing this, and that, and the other. And then I've gotten up and just felt like I laid a big old fat egg. And somebody come up and said, man, the Lord spoke to me. That's about the best sermon I've ever heard. The Lord really helped me. I was praying last night for this, and the Lord's like, you know, maybe grabbing me by the tie. Doofus, it's not you. It's me, and you need my favor. And that's the way we cease not and grow on, is by having the favor of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a short invitation. Planned on preaching a little shorter tonight, so we're not out too late for the business meeting. Let's all stand. I hope everybody desires to have God's favor. But you got to cease not and grow on. Ask Him for it. Ask Him to bless what you do for Him.